This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Coming to you live to tape from the Manboy Cave here in beautiful Emerald Isle, North Carolina. It is the Steve Carino Show, starring Steve Carino.
I'm going to start taking them again.
Steve Carino Show is brought to you free of charge every other week, courtesy of the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, and you should, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. There is like 7 freaking shirts on there. Don't be cheap. Buy them all. You got 2 American Tiger shirts on there, 3 or 4 Steve Carino shirts, Mr. Wrestling 3, PWF. Get them going. If you're a listener of the Steve Carino Show, you should be wearing your Steve Carino swag, if that's even still a word. Wear that swag, baby. 7 different t-shirts. You can get one. Christmas is coming. Hanukkah is coming. Kwanzaa's coming. Thanksgiving's coming. You have, like, relatives that you don't like. God, throw my face on a t-shirt and send it to them. Man, for $19.99, that's a laugh. That's a cheap laugh. Oh. Great. That's the only sponsor we have this week, and that's my own sponsorship. Hey, if you want a sponsor, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com. I'll split the money with my man right here, Damigan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, and I could use some of that fat cash from this podcast that we don't get.
Word up.
Right?
Kevin Kelly.
Yeah, well, I don't get much of anything from Kevin Kelly besides, you know, the occasional ridicule and... You know, taking care of a 18-pound dog isn't cheap, people.
And I hear he's got 8 followers now on Twitter.
Yeah, more on that in a bit. But, it's starting to all go to his head, too, let me assure you.
Hey, and let me assure you to something. And I apologize. I know it's Wednesday night. We usually do this on Tuesday night. And I'm ruining your Bruins Flyers opening hockey night. and I apologize. But you know what? Like, it's gotten to the point where it's gotten so hard to come up with something. I've been seeing a rapist lately, and, you know, I've been getting out a lot of anger. I've been getting out, like, a lot of, like, stuff that's been going on, and I realized, like, you really don't need a podcast or Twitter or Facebook to get out anger. You just need a rapist.
A rapist.
A rapist.
Really? So you go to a rapist to work out your problems?
Yeah. Never heard of that? What? Write it down. It comes out.
Yeah, no. I mean, they say you can't rape the willing. So, I mean, are you seriously being raped, or what's going on here?
No,
Steve?
The French call it a therapist, but you spell it out, you separate the E and the R, it comes out the rapist.
The rapist. No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so whenever you see a therapist, you'd be like, oh, the rapist.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, a lot of stuff we need to talk about. We got a special guest tonight, Adam Cole, ROH superstar, former world champion, sexy motherfucker. You know what I mean? Man. Yeah, right?
No, it definitely got my motor rolling when you told me that this was our guest. I was just really, really excited about hearing about the possibility of talking. I mean, Adam Cole briefly was on my Skype a few months ago when he was headlining the first ever Kevin Kelly show. And I can only imagine what he'll bring to the table tonight. I'm really excited.
You know, one of the reasons I came up with Adam Cole as our guest is because I heard that Kevin Kelly stole one of our... special guests.
Our special...
Am I right?
Which one?
A Little Version 1, maybe?
Oh, he did. Yeah, it just... Right? Just took a right out from underneath us. He's like...
That's right. Let me tell you something, Kevin Kelly. Matt Hardy was mine way before he was ever yours. He's got some balls.
Well,
talking about balls.
I can't.
Michael Elgin. I love how you brought up the rundown, and the first thing you write is, "What's up with Michael Elgin?" Now, do you want to tell the fans, what people listening here to the Steve Corino Show, what I wrote back to you?
Well, you wrote back something very crude. You said, "What a dick question, LOL." I don't think it was.
Is.
It's what the people want to know.
Well, you know what? That's the thing. I don't know. If Racist Gino never, like, texted me and said, "Hey, man, I can't believe Elgin quit," I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, Elgin quit? I didn't even know he was in the country yet. Like, did he quit from Canada? Did he quit wrestling? What the hell's going on? And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting stuff to my Twitter. What do you think about Michael Elgin quit? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, then I read it, something he tweeted and quit, and I don't know, man. You want my opinion? Then I'll probably get in trouble for this.
Well, yeah.
It smells like bullshit to me.
You think
so?
Am
I allowed to say that?
Oh,
my
I think
show,
so.
Right?
No, definitely.
It smells like bullshit, right?
Right. It this is very bizarre. I haven't really read as much as I probably should, or maybe I shouldn't read much about this, but it's quite an amazing fall from grace when you consider that he was the headline of the big pay-per-view, you know, we're back on traditional pay-per-view, and next thing you know, he's, you know, the people's champ, he's fighting everybody, defending, they were talking about how many defenses and successful defenses, and then they go up to Canada and what looked like a pretty good challenge, but at the same time, I don't think a lot of people expected the title to go there. Next thing you know, Briscoe wins, and we're like, whoa, what is that about? He can't get out of the country, and now he's quitting on social media. It's such a bizarre story, Steve.
It is. He had a bad weekend, man. Not only did he lose the ROH world title, but then, like, got stuck in Canada. And you know, it's a long story that's probably, you know, been told a million times. I'd run out. He applied for his green card because he's married to an American, and it takes a long time. You know, my brother-in-law is a Swiss, not a Nazi like Dan would tell you, but he's a Swiss. And you know, it took forever for them to get a green card in, and you know, so he hit the wrong thing. Like, I, you know, he got the wrong guy at the border who popped him back into the U.S. And you know, for weeks they've been fighting it and all that fun stuff. But apparently he's back in the U.S. and now a free agent. He has quit Ring of Honor. Only time will tell if it's a storyline. If it's a storyline, I don't know if anybody's buying it. If it's a shoot, everybody's going to feel like, man, that's cool. Something big happened there. But I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not close to the guy. I think he's cool. Mm. Like, he's, you know, he's super cool. Like, he loves baseball. He only likes a 10-9 game. I like a, you know, 1-0 game. But, you know, it's one of those things where does he hurt the product by not being there? No. Does he help the product by being there? Yes. You know, I think Ring of Honor has become such a brand and a television show that guys can be interchangeable. That being said, I'm looking for a new contract this week, so I am not interchangeable. The commentating staff is what people really, really need. You know, that's a constant that you need in your life. It's like breakfast. So, yeah, me and Kevin Kelly do need new contracts. We're looking for raises, or we will appear on another broadcast television wrestling show. Okay, that's not true. But you know what? We would, yeah, let's get some raises. Christmas is coming. I'm going to buy people freaking 20th anniversary shirts for the Christmas. Oh, man, I got to tell you something. October is my favorite time of year. You're going to ask why? You're just going to make me look like an asshole.
Why, Steve, is October your most favorite time of the year?
Baby, it's playoff season.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, I love April baseball, May baseball, June baseball, July baseball, August baseball, September baseball. I love baseball. But October is that time when, man, they're playing for everything. It's the coolest thing ever. I picked, right before the playoffs started, I picked an Angels-Dodgers World Series, which means I am dumb. Can you believe that both teams are out of it already?
Oh my gosh, what a fraudulent city that LA is as far as baseball goes. I mean, it just seems like this is happening quite a bit lately, where the Dodgers look unbeatable. They make all these big trades, they have these huge contracts, they have probably the best talent head to toe in the league, and then they fall flat on their faces. And the Angels, I think I made a comment 2 weeks ago on this very airways. I said, nobody has played better in the second half than the Angels, and who's going to stop them along the way? And it just really goes to show that when teams are playing basically playoff baseball for a month before the playoffs even start, it really goes a long way. And a team that basically coasted in because they just crushed their division, I mean, gosh, it was incredible how quickly we saw both LA teams just fold like cheap suits, Steve.
Oh, it's crazy. Think about this. You know, at the beginning of the playoffs, you had Oakland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Anaheim. Four California teams, and now only one left. And that's the wild card team. Unbelievable, man. That's crazy. Now you will be starting on Friday, so you when you're listening to this, we'll be previewing Kansas City Royals, Baltimore Orioles, ALDS, and then on the National League side, you got the St. Louis Cardinals, and the freaking San Francisco Giants again.
Yeah.
This is going to be so tough. Like I would have never thought that Fat Matt Adams would have pulled a home run on a curveball that Stevie Wonder could have hit, and you put the Cardinals into the NLDS or NLCS. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's incredible. It brings me to a point that I want to get and hit home, and I know there are you out there in LA that are probably listening right now and probably going to call me a big jerk or big moron, probably even a lot worse than either of those two. But my question to you, Steve, is, is Clayton Kershaw the biggest fraud in baseball right now?
No, I just think he was missing spots. You could see it when I was watching MLB Network this morning, and you could tell he was missing spots, and he was getting frustrated, and it was one of those things where this poor guy needed help. Maybe Mattingly should have pulled him a little sooner, but he's Clayton Kershaw. He's $214 million contract that he had just signed. He's the man. He's only 26 years old, or he's going to be 26 years old. He's going to bounce back from all this. I don't think he's a fraud, but I do think he's intimidated by the Cardinals.
Let me give you some cold hard numbers right here. For you, okay? In the playoffs, he's played in 6 series over the last 4 years. In the playoffs, 10 games, 7 starts. He's 1-4. 1-4 with a 5.20 earned run average. This year, he had an ERA in the 10s. Last year, in 2 starts in the NLCS against the Cardinals, who you just mentioned, he was 0-2 with a 6.30 earned run average. A few years ago against your Phillies, 2 games, 9.45 earned run average. All this in the playoffs. And I love this tweet. I retweeted it from SportsCenter the other day. It says, Clayton Kershaw has lost his last 4 playoff starts. Kershaw only has 4 losses in his last 30 regular season starts. That's incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Maybe the big time actually, it screws him up in his head or something. I don't know where the Cardinals get to him. It's something that they need to work on. And I think the Dodgers need to really work on what they're going to do. There seems to be a lot of, egos, maybe, oh shit, I don't know, man. There's so many different things that that it's keeping them back. But I really don't know. The Dodgers really got to do something. I putting Puig in there to run and not freaking to pinch hit in the ninth. Man, that made me like crazy. What are you thinking? So I don't know, man. Baseball is such a game of luck, a game of skill. You just never know. Now I'm going to put you on the spot here before I tell you some awesome news.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some predictions.
What's that?
Four teams left. So we got four teams left. So you got to see what you think is good.
Well, in the American League, we have Orioles, Royals, which I guess we all picked in the spring. So, you know, but I have always kind of been, and I know I shouldn't because it's the AL East, but I've always kind of thought that the Baltimore Orioles were an underappreciated team, and they were a lot better than a lot of people gave them credit for. I think they have a very deep lineup. When you can lose guys like Weeters and others and you still perform well, and you still have a lot of outs. The lineup gets extended, and now you have some pitching to go along with it. I think they're the most complete team. Well, obviously, there's only two left in the AL, but I think that they are just a terrific team. They'll probably have a very good home field advantage being at Camden Yards. Kansas City, though, looks like that team on a destiny as well. So no lead is safe, it seems, when it comes to Kansas City. They're coming up with some incredible comeback victory. So I think it'll be a great series, but I think I'm going to lean towards the Orioles in that one.
You know what? I definitely think so, too. It's a tough one. I believe that Kansas City is going to, fight tooth and nail. The running game is so good, but I like Baltimore's strengths. Even without Crush Davis, and that's the thing. Like, he is available to come back, I think, on the fifth game. So that should be pretty interesting to see what the Orioles do. Will they keep him out the rest of the the rest of the time, or will they make 24 people available and put him back on the roster when he's eligible again? So, but I'm going to go Orioles in six.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the National League side, the Cardinals just play just enough to win all the time, and they're frustrating, and they get the right hits at the right time. I'm not sold on Colton Wong, but I do love the Cardinals pitching. Molina is just, he's just the spark plug behind the plate that they need. I'm going to go Cardinals in seven over the Giants. And then in the World Series, I'm going Cardinals in seven over the Orioles.
Yeah, I like that pick. The Cardinals seem to be that team that if they're competing against anybody but the Red Sox, they're the team that does everything right and can do no wrong and get the bounces. And I think it's another one of those seasons where I know, and it's funny because the Cardinals and Giants are two teams that most baseball fans don't even really pay attention to. They don't have any problems with. You don't see a lot of stuff like, I can't stand either one of these teams. And this year in particular, I've noticed it a lot more. People are like, oh, God, I can't stand the Cardinals. And it's like, it's amazing.
Apparently
it's,
people say that from, from Boston. I can't stand the Cardinals.
But it's so funny because, the Cardinals did the job two times against the Red Sox, so nobody up here should hate the Cardinals, in all honesty. They really should love the Cardinals, but it just looks like one of those seasons where one of those teams is going to, look at who just won the World Series. I can't believe it. But I'm just going to ride the Orioles train all the way to the end. I think it'll be an all-birds World Series. I think it'll be Orioles versus Cardinals, and I'm going to go with the Orioles. That's my pick, but I would not be shocked if the Cardinals end up winning because the Red Sox aren't standing there across the field.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel that too because it's just one of those things. I think the Cardinals have been the bridesmaid long enough that they have the experience that they can win it. They got the teamwork. Matheny's a great coach. He's not my favorite coach, but he is a great, great coach. You know who my favorite coach is, right?
Oh, I think I do.
The man that sent me a letter. Oh, it was so great. His name, Ryan Sandberg. We've talked about this so many times on the Steve Carino show that I have to read this letter that Ryan Sandberg sent me personally with an autographed card that is right next to this beautiful picture of my wife. It says, "Dear Phillies fan, thank you for your ongoing support as we enter the 2014 season. We have a talented group of players on this team, and we're excited to show everyone what we're capable of. I know it's going to be a great year for our team, and I hope you are as excited about it as we are. I really appreciate every letter I receive, and I wish I could respond to each one personally. I hope you will accept this signed photo card. Again, I want to thank you for the enthusiasm that you've shown me and the team, and I want you to know we're working hard to bring another world championship to Philadelphia. Thanks again, and I hope to hear you at Citizens Bank Park soon. Sincerely, Ryan Sandberg." Is that the greatest letter of all time?
Yeah, gosh. I mean, you know, you don't see me with a letter like that, so, you know.
I'm going to frame it.
I know you are.
People, the naysayers, want to say that he doesn't address me personally.
Nope, he doesn't. Unless I can start calling you Phillies fan from now on.
You may.
Okay.
Yeah, I call him Rhino. He calls me Phillies fan. And it does say, "Thank you for your ongoing support as we enter the 2014 season." But, it's a typo. And no one said he went to MIT. That's the thing. The point is, persistence pays off, people. If you send somebody a birthday card for 30 straight years, eventually you are going to get a form letter back with an autographed card.
How come he didn't thank you for the birthday card?
Hey, he says thank you twice in this letter. Three times. "Thank you for your ongoing support as we enter the 2014 season." That's one. Two. "Again, I want to thank you for the enthusiasm that you've shown me, that's personal, and the team." And then, almost last sentence, "Thanks again, and I hope to hear you at Citizens Bank Park soon." Three times!
Three times.
There's four paragraphs! He's thanked me three times!
And he wants...
I'm definitely getting him a good present.
I bet, too, if you go to Citizens Bank Park and you start cheering really loud, I bet he's going to be able to hear you now, too.
Maybe, yeah, because the team's pretty bad. I might be the only person there. Oh, it's great. Now, before we go to break and we talk to Adam Cole, I got to ask. You put on here, now wrestling night is date night. Now, my wife doesn't like professional wrestling, but I want to know, what makes wrestling night date night to you?
Well, for fans of our great and wonderful podcast that we pimp all the time, PlaceToBeNation.com, it's the home of this show, there's a great piece on there on a weekly basis, and gonna give these guys the rub, the high spot is what it's called, and they just take on a bunch of news items of the day and different things going on around in wrestling that some of it is kind of, it's not just your typical, oh, Cena should turn heel, why don't they do this and elevate this guy? It's like actually some pretty interesting stories, and Steve Willey and Glenn Butler, two guys that you'll hear or read about all the time on Place to Be Nation. They're very talented, and they came up with this story that they titled on their High Spot column. It's called "I'm in the High Spot, Gotta Love Me," and they talk about this special interest internet dating site. Now, Steve, there are special interest dating internet dating websites all over the place. My cousin actually found his bride on a Greek Orthodox internet website. There's internet dating websites dedicated to, like, Doctor Who fans. And now there is a special interest internet dating site called Tag Me a Date, and it's the new hub for wrestling aficionado looking to form an indomitable tag team. And much like a lot of internet dating sites, you have to, you make up a username, you talk about what age group you're looking for, what your favorite finishing move is, what your favorite catchphrase is, and based on your answers, I guess they pair you up with someone who has similar interests in it as well. And it's legit. I don't know what the going
rate. Have you signed up?
I have not signed up. I believe Glenn has, one of the authors of this piece. But I don't know, man. You know, if Match.com gets you down, or OKCupid, you want to kick in the butt, or, you know, you're just not quite ready to commit to somebody on Christian Mingle, perhaps this is the way to go.
I don't know, man. That's crazy. I'm sure there's some indie guys looking for rats on there. It'd be disgusting.
Well, here's a few more of the questions. If you could be any wrestler, who would it be? Obviously, Steve Corino should be answered every time. Do you follow independent wrestling is another question on here. What is your earliest wrestling memory? Right?
Yeah. Hey, if things go south with my wife, now I know where to go.
Now watch, we're going to get people that are going to like write in and saying, Dan, how's your internet, how's the tag in a date going for you?
Sign up for, to, you know, I think you need to, you know, sign up just to see how it goes.
Right, right. Maybe that's where I'll get like the pictures for our Twitter thing where, yeah, like, Steve, check out this one. What do you think? I don't know. It might be worth it. I don't know.
I think you should.
I can always make it sound like I'm investigative journalist, you know? I'm just going undercover.
That's right, yeah. You're using it for definite, definitely using it for, you know, Steve Corino show purposes.
That's right.
Hey, man, after all that, I just need to know, where do we find the Steve Corino show?
Well, you can find the Steve Corino Show in any of the following ways. Visiting placetobenation.com and clicking on the Steve Corino banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you'll automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Corino Show. You can visit Stitcher.com, subscribe to Place to Be podcast there, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. It's at Steve Corino Show. It's at Place Number 2 B Nation. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/place2bnation. Finally, if you have questions for our final segment, love, suggestions, what ifs, whatever you want, email us at stevecorinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecorinoshow@gmail.com, or tweet us at Steve Corino Show. Phillies fan, take it away.
Hey, when we come back, we got Adam Cole in the house. I wish he was in the house. But we will be interviewing the man, the myth, the legend, former ROH World Champion, Adam Cole. You're listening to the Steve Corino Show. Trap all day, play all night. This is the life of a, the life of a go-getter, go-getter, go-getter. In the club, you see a bad bitch. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Parv. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
rising with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the one that's got family. No need to sweat Arsenio to gain some type of fame. No shame in my game.
Hey, and we're back on the Steve Corino Show. My guest this week, former ROH World Champion. Not the baby. Former ROH World Television Champion, a man that I've known for a few years now, and like every time I see him, he just keeps getting better and better. Adam Cole, welcome to the Steve Corino Show.
Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for having me on today. I know Beck doesn't seem too happy, but I'm happy to be here.
No, he's always excited when he gets to talk to Uncle Adam.
awesome.
So, hey, man, I want to thank you for joining us. I know you're a busy guy, and one of the reasons I wanted you on the show this week is you were on the first Kevin Kelly show.
Right, correct.
Right. So Matt Hardy, our Lord and Savior, he was on my fourth event, on my fourth show, right? And, okay. You know, the ratings were through the roof, of course. And so Kevin Kelly pulls on his show Matt Hardy. So I said, you know what? I'll go one up. I'm stealing your first guest. I'm bringing Adam Cole to Steve.
Right, there you go. What a crappy move by Kevin Kelly. There was a reason that we didn't invite him to the bachelor party. For stuff like that.
Right?
For stuff like that. Total buzzkill. Well, let me tell you this. I know we're only 2 minutes into your show here, but it's already better than that Kevin Kelly show I did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Screw you, Kevin Kelly. He probably doesn't. But hey, man, we're coming off the heels of the bachelor party, which was a great time tonight. Mike Bennett's wedding. He gets to marry the first lady of Ring of Honor, Maria Kanellis. Now, I know what to expect at a wrestler wedding, but what do you think we're going to expect from what kind of chaos do you think is going to happen tonight, and who's going to be the leader of that chaos?
Man, I think the classic line of, like, expect the unexpected is such a great line for a wrestler wedding, because on top of that, I think Mike said it's like over 50 wrestlers are going to be at this wedding. So the combination of it being like a super serious event, there are all these wrestlers here, there's an open bar, the chaos is just going to completely ensue and be wild. I think there's going to be multiple leaders of many different packs, like my pack, Roderick Strong will probably try to attempt to lead. There will probably be another group. It's going to be wild. It's going to be the best time of our lives.
It's funny because we both, Jordan even like mouthed, Roddy. Right, because you know we had seen him at a wedding last year, almost ruin a maid of honor speech. I don't know if you remember that because you were in the corner with him when he yelled, "Hey, Dave, take it home!" You know, which he got a lot of looks his way, but then we thought that's just Roddy.
Right. So, it's almost like we've come to terms with like loving that part of him just for the jokes that all of us make afterwards. But
he's oblivious to this too. Like, he doesn't understand like what he does.
No, which makes it so much better. It's not like it's his intention. You know that's what makes Roddy.
And people probably don't know, and I don't know if you would remember this. Final Battle 2012. We're in New York City, and we're in a bar. And it's myself, it's Jordan, who, and, you know, we were engaged at the time. It was you, it was, Big Earn and Roddy. And we had already sent invitations out for our wedding and stuff like that. And we invited Ernie, and of course you were in the wedding, which I say on ROH TV every week just to throw it at people.
Yes, and it makes me smile every time.
Yeah, you ignore it, which makes it even better. So Jordan goes, and like this is after a few drinks, Jordan goes, we should really invite Roddy. And before I could say anything, Roddy pushes over a table, gets all belligerent, and she goes, "Don't you dare invite Roddy."
Right. Yeah, it's like classic, like you couldn't write that, you know, for like a TV show. It was like I remember that clear as day. We had a great time, it was awesome. And yeah, just as that was being discussed, Roddy proved why that would be a horrible idea.
It is, yeah. He gives advice to Colby all the time, and I just shake my head. I think that like Colby was like 13, and we were upstairs at the Manhattan Center, and he goes, "Yeah, yo, Colby, you see that couch over there? Yeah, I got blowjob right there. I go, Roddy, he's 13. He goes, come on, pal, he's got to learn sometime.
Roddy is probably my best friend in wrestling, or one of my best friends in wrestling. And every time he drinks, he makes sure to have one of these serious talks with me too. And in that process, it's the exact same thing. His classic line now is, you're one of the worst wrestlers in ROH. You're super overrated. but someday, like 10 years from now, you'll be top five greatest of all time. So it's the weirdest backhanded. right.
Come on, bro. Yeah, you're just so overrated.
You're terrible, man. But someday, it's like he sees that he's crushing my soul, and then his way of backtracking and fixing it is that 10 years from now, I'll be top five greatest of all time.
He tries to get you into bed. Right. Yeah, come on, bro. You know, Carino's not watching. Give me a kiss.
No one's watching. Just do it. Just do it. You know you want
to. Just do it. Hey, Adam, you have come a long way in short time, and it shows. It's a testament to like all the hard work that you put into professional wrestling, and you know what, you're one of my wife's favorites, and not just because you know we're all buddies outside the ring, but she loved that you could cut a promo on any subject that they gave you,
right?
You know,
right.
And she thought like, oh wow, that's just a gift. And I'm thinking, hey, I'm known for talking, and shit, what I talk about. When did you discover like your love for professional wrestling?
Actually, I was 9 years old. What happened for me is like, you know, wrestling at this point was really kind of turning into the Attitude Era. Like, you know, wrestling itself was becoming more violent and risque. And I grew up in a really conservative area. Lancaster, Pennsylvania is known for being super conservative. You know, the Amish are everywhere. So pro wrestling was definitely looked down upon. But my parents split and I started taking karate lessons. And my karate instructor was a guy that I really looked up to, I really admired. And I'll never forget, I got there early one day and he's running on the treadmill. And he was watching a taped Monday Night Raw from the night before where Kane and Stone Cold were putting Paul Bear in a sewer. And he looks over at me and he goes, oh, do you watch pro wrestling? And I'm like, yeah, all the time, man. Oh, I watch it all the time, but I've never watched it before. I just wanted to fit in with him so bad. And then long story short, he ended up letting me borrow the taped WrestleMania 15 that was in Philadelphia that year. And I remember seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock for the first time, and I was hooked. Like, I was just so blown away that and at that time too, it was more the entrances that really impressed me. Like the fact that you could hear the crowd just waiting for that glass to break, and then when it did, they all just would lose their minds for this one real badass guy walking down the ring and kicking ass. And it was just something that I really, really loved as a kid. And from that point on, I was just a hooked wrestling fan.
Now, what made you decide to go from fan to wrestler? Was it something that you knew as soon as like you saw the entrances of Kane and Stone Cold? You said, "Hey, man, that I want to be that." Or is it, you know, was it more of a process of how you discovered, like, "Hey, you know what? This is something that I want to do."
Yeah, actually, it definitely was a process, because at that point I was just a fan. You know, I never even considered the idea of wanting to be a wrestler. But ironically enough, those same two guys, Stone Cold and The Rock, 2 years later at WrestleMania 17, that match was what made me want to be a wrestler. And again, it was the entrance. Like, I remember that Limp Bizkit My Way hype video that like everyone from my generation still talks about. It was just such an awesome video package. And, you know, Howard Finkel in there saying that the match was now a no disqualification, and then Jim Ross going, no disqualification, what's this all about? And there's like a 1 second silence, and then Austin's music hit and 67,000 people lost their mind. And that was the first time that I ever got goosebumps. Like before that, people would like listen to a song or they'd watch a scene in a movie and they'd go, oh man, this is giving me goosebumps. And I had no idea what they were talking about. Because I'd never experienced that in my life. And then when Austin came out that night, I swear, I'm looking at my arm, I still get chills talking about it. But when he came out that night, it gave me goosebumps, and I was so moved by it that I was like, man, okay, being a fan is cool, but I have to be involved in this someday.
Now, you became involved and you chose, of all places, the CZW Dojo under DJ Hyde. Now,
right.
Was that a choice that you made? Or, like, for me, you know, in 1994, I didn't realize that there was a wrestling school on every corner. I, you know, I I had stumbled into Dio's dungeon in Blandon, Pennsylvania, just by, you know, being at the right nightclub and seeing a wrestling poster. How did you choose the CZW Dojo?
Yeah, actually, again, that was very circumstantial. My plan was not to go to the CZW Wrestling Academy. Actually, at this point, I was actually toying with the idea of either going to the Samoan school in Allentown or training under Mike Quackenbush at Chikara. But I was a fan of CZW, so I went to a CZW show. It was like their annual Best of the Best tournament, which CZW is known for its blood and guts, but Best of the Best, they would do a really great junior heavyweight wrestling tournament, and you know, the shows were always awesome. And I went to the show, and I was, you know, out back waiting to actually meet some of the guys, and DJ came out, and we had just started talking, and for whatever reason, I built up the courage to tell him. I said, yeah, when I get out of high school, I'm going to train to be a wrestler someday. And he looked at me, and he said, well, why don't you want to wrestle now? And I thought about it for a second, and I said, well, I said, I'm still in high school, so I don't know if my parents would let me drive down Monday through Thursday, 2 hours there, 2 hours back. You know, I don't know if I can pay for everything. Because at that point, Steve, I thought that I had to pay, like, the lump sum, like, right away. I was really ignorant to the idea that you could make payments. And DJ told me, he goes, hey, if you can come down one day a week, and, you know, we have a payment system that we can do, you can get in a ring and you can start learning how to wrestle right now. And at that point, I just jumped on it. Because I wanted to wrestle so bad that for me, his sales pitch worked for me. He said I could be in a ring, you know, right now while I was still in high school. So that was the reason I went to the CZW school.
Now, like you had said, CZW is known for more of the death matches and stuff like that. But then, you know, they have a tournament like Best of the Best, and that's something you strive to be in. Now, the training, you know, to someone that, you know, doesn't know what CZW is would think like, oh, it's blood and guts in the training camp, but it's actually very tough. And, mm-hmm. you know, DJ made you guys bump on concrete, if I'm right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, DJ went about training us in a very unconventional and, you know, at least now an untraditional way. Like, I don't think there are many wrestling schools now that are known for doing like the bumps on the concrete. And, you know, the first day they duct taped us to the turnbuckle and made us take our shirts off. And we got chopped by 30 guys until our chest looked like hamburger meat. I mean, they used to just on purpose, man. It was like, you know, the first couple months they'd put us in there and just put us in a heat drill and just literally beat the snot out of us for 2 hours until we threw up. You know, a buddy of mine got knocked out. You know, they're, you know, at some points, you know, bloodying us, like really like pounding the snot out of us. But at the same time, I know as crazy as that sounds, and it's something that, you know, if I ever, when I run seminars or if I ever ran a school, obviously I would never run a school like that, that way. But there is part of me that kind of appreciates that I went through that, because I remember going to that school and literally being sick to my stomach, being so nervous, because these guys are just so much bigger than us and they were beating on us, to where when I first started going out to wrestle, I really wasn't as nervous because I'd gone through literally anything and everything at that school.
Now, and what year did you break in?
2008.
Okay, so yeah, even now as we're approaching 2015, like you had said, you probably wouldn't train the same way, but you understood it and stuff like that. Do you believe now it's because it's such a different world and everything like that, and what we know about concussions after, you know, Benoit and Nowitzki and everything that goes on with the body, is it's a different world now, that you need to learn how to be more of a showman at times than the actual bumper.
Absolutely. 100%. I think, cause even then, you know, 6 years ago, I think our perception and understanding of how dangerous concussions were, you know, is not near as good as it is now. You know, like, in a perfect example, I got concussed in Ring of Honor and they kept me off for 3 weeks just to make sure that my head was healed, you know, properly. Whereas back then, it was, if you got a concussion, you were a pussy if you did not wrestle the next night or even that night. You know, that was part of the deal. And it's so crazy to think about it now, but I'm so glad that we're so much smarter with our performers and taking care of our bodies now, so we have, you know, better longevity. But I think, too, it was kind of the understanding of – I think the reason they did that to us was that was their way of making us, quote-unquote, pay dues. And you hear that all the time in wrestling. But for me, I think there are many different ways to show or see if someone really wants to be a wrestler. And that's more stuff on the road. That's packing guys into a car. That's making people sleep on the floor and seeing if they complain or seeing if they love it. Because that really, to me, is the test of whether or not you love pro wrestling and whether or not you want to grow and be a part of it, is if you're willing to make those type of sacrifices. Because I think really, for the most part, it doesn't really prove anything by beating the snot out of somebody and taking punishment.
I totally agree with you. We got Adam Cole here on the Steve Corino Show. Now, we had met, if I'm right, we had met in 2010? Or was it 2009?
I think we may have met on the tail end of 2009.
Right, and was it the first time that we had wrestled each other for Sam, or
yes.
Was it?
Yep, yeah. That was it. I think the first time I met you was the first time we worked together.
Right, and I remember, like, Sam had called me and said, hey, I got this kid, and he's really good, and this, he's like, would you mind, you know, work with, oh, yeah, cool, so I come up, and, like, Dimension was with me, and Dimension's like, well, I've seen this kid's really good, and we went out there, you know, we had a lot of fun, and, you know, it was the time when I'm like, oh, this guy's got – he's such a baby face, even though you were a heel. Like, he's got such a baby face. And then, you know, it wasn't much longer that you had come in for – you and Bennett had come in for, you know, some tryout matches with Ring of Honor. And, you know, I knew the one night that you were the baby face, he was the heel, and then they switched it up. And then mm-hmm. Pierce had gotten replaced by Hunter. And, you know, you were in and you literally did the whole – white meat baby face thing until the ROH tournament. Now, in the beginning, Cornette had put you and Kyle O'Reilly, who's just an exceptional wrestler and human being.
Yes.
And he put you guys together as Future Shock as basically his new Thrill Seekers or the Fantastics or Rock and Roll Express. He saw girls are going to like these guys, you know, so much. And at first, I believe that Kyle was the one that was getting the buzz. But mm-hmm. Kyle makes the turn, and you guys finally have that match in the Hammerstein Ballroom. And to me, that was the night that Adam Cole was made. Now, there's a couple other guys that I've had this conversation with that believe that there was a night in Philadelphia where you had wrestled a match and then had to go back out later and wrestle Roderick Strong. And they believe that was the night that you were made. So I figure while we got you here on the Steve Corino Show, I'd ask you, what was the point when you felt like, you know what, I've arrived and you people haven't even seen the best of Adam Cole yet?
I think certainly for me, it was that night in New York when I was gushing buckets. Because as special and as important as that match with Roderick Strong was, it being in Philadelphia, you know, the ovation that I got after the match, it seeming like, oh, it's, you know, Adam did double duty and he had this no holds barred match with Roderick Strong. But for me, it was a smaller audience that had seen that side of me, to where I don't think it got enough attention or enough buzz to really catapult me to that next level. I know forever booking wise, it was intended that breakout moment for me was supposed to be at the 10th anniversary show where I beat Davey Richards in the tag team matchup in the main event of at the Hammerstein Ballroom. But for sure, for me, I think to a lesser scale, it was the equivalent of like Bret Hart and Steve Austin when Austin was gushing blood. And for me having that moment with Kyle where I was gushing blood, I mean, I literally felt it. While we were in the ring, I was like, oh, man, we have something really, really special here. And I don't think I'd be at this point in my career if it wasn't for that night in New York, which it's so crazy because it was a complete freak accident and fluke. But, yeah, that did wonders for me. So it was a combination of, like, the best and worst night of my life. It was great.
For me, it was scary because I was on I was at the gorilla position with the headset on, and I you know, I saw it, and, you know, a lot of people believe that your tooth had busted, and that's what it looked like mm-hmm. on the monitor. And I literally sent the doctor out there, and it was just one of those, like, moments in wrestling. I believe that wrestling is all about the moments where
exactly.
I had Bobby Cruz in my in his earpiece saying, don't ring the bell, don't have the doctor yet until, like, the doctor literally asked. Like, I'm not the booker. You know, there was Jim and there was Hunter. Like, you as my friend, I was literally frightened that, you know, you were going to put your heart over your brain. And when you wave the doctor off, there is a roar from the crowd. And, like, it was literally like watching a Rocky Balboa movie where, you know, oh, I got more. And then you would turn and you would take more abuse and stuff like that. And I literally was calling the audible where – if there was going to be a time where I thought like your legs were woozy or something like that, I was going to have the doctor end the match. And but when you waved that doctor off, that crowd came on. And I got goosebumps thinking about it now, a couple years later, that I was like, holy shit, man, that, you know, this is Adam Cole, you know, really breaking out. And it was a crazy moment. And I don't think people will ever forget it. Like, it's hard to be over in New York City. Like, mm-hmm. You can be over as a babyface anywhere, but to be over, whether it's a heel or babyface in New York City when you're not a New York City guy is so, so difficult. And that night, the Hammerstein, you became that guy. And yeah, I believe that it really led to, you know, a lot of more doors opening, you know, which brought us to just over a year ago, the ROH World Title Tournament, where you had made the turn to become, you know, the Adam Cole that we see today. And I think about the Adam Cole that I met, you know, 5 years ago. You know, he's young, babyface looking, playing the part of the heel, to the Adam Cole that is morphed into what he is in Ring of Honor right now. And it is just mind-boggling, man. It is what you're doing in Ring of Honor right now, whether you have the championship or you don't, you're the person that people want to watch. And, you know, I'm so proud, you know, because I'm your friend and I've mm-hmm. watched you grow up, but like, it's so much fun watching the fans. Like, you've now gone from super heel to, I love Adam Cole. I'm going to boo him for the next 15 minutes. But I fucking love Adam Cole, and it's crazy. Do you get to, do you feel some of that? Like, now that like you're a made man, and you know that from the time that you come out to your music, and we're going to get into your music in a second because it's a long story. But the second that you come out, you got your music to the second you, people are going to boo you, but they respect you. And can you feel that?
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because when I really noticed it was actually after I lost the Ring of Honor World title. I think because when I won the Ring of Honor World Championship, a lot of people were excited at this idea of like, oh, cool, we're going to get heel Adam Cole. And I had done a lot of heel work in CZW and a lot of heel stuff out at PWG as well, where there I was focused on more being that quote-unquote entertaining heel or that funny heel or something. You know, I was always doing stuff to try to get people to laugh. And I remember with this Ring of Honor title run and it being on television and, you know, ROH being the biggest company that I work for, I really wanted to make sure that I had a completely different heel run to where the fans really despise me and really want to be his championship. So obviously in turn with that, because our, you know, fan base is, you know, very educated, of course, a lot of people would get angry or they'd be upset and they'd be like, oh, God, you know, he's cheating again or there's another run-in. Whereas after the championship run happened, I think people looked back on it and kind of appreciated it for what it was, to where now I certainly feel a difference when I come out. Like, I definitely feel when I come out, it's that – it's almost like I get a positive reaction, and then the second the match starts, they can't wait to boo me, like exactly what you said. So it's a really cool and fun time for me right now in ROH, and creatively, I have a lot of different avenues that I can go. So I'm looking forward to the next couple months.
And you're one of the only ROH world champions that the fans didn't turn on. If right. anything, people will still talk about, and you know, I'm sure you hear this, but you're very humble. You probably hear this from the boys too, is that a lot of people believe that your title run got cut short when it was just starting to gel. And mm-hmm. whereas like, that's kind of a good thing, because that gives you something to work towards again, whether it be a second title reign, whether it be the main event of WrestleMania. You're not the guy that was like, oh, the belt's finally off of him. You're the guy that was like, shit, he was just getting started. And, you know, and not in an Xavier type of way. So that's got to feel really good. Hey, when's the next time you're out for PWG?
I think next week actually is the next PWG show. So yeah, really looking forward to that.
And that's the thing. If people that, you know, listen to the Steve Carino show, if you've never watched a PWG show, mind blowing, man, because it's the place where everybody can go and there's no politics. You got Dragon Gate USA guys, you got Evolve, you have, you know, ROH guys, and there you have, you know, North Carolina indie guys, and they're all like this big mesh, and it's basically like an all-star show. Like everything is out the window and balls to the walls, and it's such an exciting where Ring of Honor is a television company, you know, Dragon Gate USA's got to do their thing. But man, when it comes time for, you know, balls to the walls wrestling, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla always delivers. And you're in I haven't watched a few of the last ones. You're part of Mount Rushmore with the Young Bucks and Kevin Steen, our old buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about Kevin, he's now in NXT and doing a great job. Can't wait to see him when we go to Florida, to Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Now, when you had turned and you had won the title, the office had a couple different ideas of changing your music. And there was one that you liked, one that you didn't like, and Kevin Steen threw a fit.
Yep.
He's like, I remember this conversation, and you being the political guy you are, you're like, no, it's good, it's good. And you're like, he goes, no, you're wrong. And we're going to go. He literally goes out and goes through a computer and starts listening to songs, and he finds three. And not only does he find three songs, but he makes the whole roster come over to the railing and act like fans and makes you do an entrance of all three. So here you are, biggest night of your career up to this date. You're the ROH World Champions. The next day, you're going to do this promo with all new music, and you're literally fucking auditioning for the whole roster. And it just goes to show, like, you're always one of the boys. Like, I've never seen anybody sexually harassed more in wrestling than you. And you always take it with a joke. This time, you're running three or four different songs, and Kevin knew the one that he wanted for you, which is the one that won out.
Yes.
And he even went over to Hunter. He's like, this is his song. And Hunter's like, no, I got that. No, this is his song. You're wrong, Hunter. And it ended up being perfect for you.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just the way of, like, Kevin Steen has that way of knowing what's so good, but he has that sometimes he has that, like, big brother approach to
life. Uh-huh. And that, Steve, that's why I love Kevin so much, and that's why Kevin is where he's at, because he's so passionate about pro wrestling. And he cares so much about his friends. Like, Kevin had so much to do with why I had the run that I did in PWG as PWG champion. It was the same thing. Like, Kevin knew this was a huge night for me. So he wanted to, what are you wearing? You know, what song are you using? And I showed him the song. He hated it. And then him on his own, I did not ask him to do this. He went to the laptop and listened to a bunch of songs. And then, like you said, made me walk out in front of everybody to make sure that I had a great entrance song, you know, for that night, right? And for my heel run. So it really goes to show you, and he was 100% right. And it just really goes to show you how smart he is and how much he really cares about wrestling.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. He could have let you just, you know, fail or, you know, oh, just do it on your own, or he doesn't care, anything like that. That's the way Kevin is. And that's the way he's always been. You know, I had his last match in Ring of Honor, and I was so nervous, and I tried to talk him out of it, and he wouldn't let me, and you know, and he went out there, and like, it wasn't going to be a 5-star match, but he knew, you know, how to get me over while being himself, and you know, that's why you know, I love him so much, and it's so good for him to be in NXT finally, and well deserved. And I totally believe that in 5 years I'm going to turn on the TV. Hopefully I'll be retired or still calling matches with Kevin Kelly, and I'm going to see a Mike Bennett, an Adam Page, a Kyle O'Reilly, a Bobby Fish on Monday Night Raw. But the guy that I'm going to see in that main event picture of the main event of WrestleMania is going to be Adam Cole. Is that your, and I know politically you have a, oh, my goal is to be the best that Ring of Honor is going to be.
Sure.
But we all know. Being right. the main event of WrestleMania, is that something you could, you see yourself, or is that the dream?
That 100% is the goal and the dream. You know, because to me, honestly, and I'm serious when I say this, this is no BS, 100%. I think if you talk to any wrestler at the level that we're at, and you say that you don't want to be in the main event of WrestleMania someday, I think you're kidding yourself. I mean, I think obviously we all love pro wrestling so much, and there's no doubt that WWE is the creme de la creme. It's the top. It's the NFL if you play football. So obviously, all of us want to leave a legacy and be known as the best. You know, like I mean, certainly, I think as my career has gone on and moved forward, I feel like the chance of WWE happening or main eventing WrestleMania is becoming a stronger possibility for me, and that's really exciting. So it's the same idea. I'm going to keep doing what I've done since the start of my career. It's put my head down and do everything I can to grow and evolve and hopefully one day make that happen, man.
And that's a great way to look at it. And like, you know, for people that are small-minded or think like the controversy, they'll think, oh, he's just saying he's using ROH as the right. you know, the drawing board for this big thing. And people don't realize that I think the way I've known Hunter and the way you've known Hunter and a guy like Joe Koff, I totally believe that the day they see whether it's, you know, the Toronto, you know, it's not the Sky Dome anymore, it's the Rogers Center or Madison Square Garden or, you know, the Wachovia, was it Wachovia? Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, whatever WrestleMania venue it is, and you know, whatever your name is going to be that night, you know, as the challenger for the WWE World Heavyweight title, there is going to be that sense of pride in Joe Koff and Hunter Johnston and all the boys that, you know, have been there with you. Even Roddy, I think, would be like, yeah, bad.
But, you did it, man. I love you.
Yeah, I love you, man. But, you know, come on. Brian's so much better. I believe that, like, they see it as that's the goal, too, is because it shows the opportunity that they've given you and the exposure that they've given you has given you that little more of a leg up than it would if you were wrestling for a smaller organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And you know why, too? I think a big part of that is – Ring of Honor is a very successful wrestling promotion, but they realize the key to their success is their number one thing has and always will be the brand, because they realize there's a chance for eventually guys moving on or guys getting stale, and there's always new guys that they're developing and creating to create this never-ending cycle. I mean, it's the same with WWE. Obviously, they're the top dogs, but it's the same idea, and Ring of Honor realizes that, and I think that's why that they do look at stuff like Punk doing well and Bryan doing well and Tyler Black as Seth Rollins doing well, is because they realize that this is part of the cycle and that's part of the deal. But that doesn't mean that, you know, while the guys are in Ring of Honor doing what they do, and this is not my political answer, this is the truth, I love being in Ring of Honor. I mean, I love the opportunities that I've had to do media stuff for ROH, all I've been doing in ROH. It's great. It's an awesome platform for me to grow.
And you know what, like, you know, me coming from ECW, which was always very tense and stuff like that, and you were always walking on eggshells and stuff, but Ring of Honor is very relaxed. Everybody is, you know, there's no, oh, he didn't shake my hand, so he's got heat. I mean, you know, there's ACH, but, you know, there's always an ACH in the locker room.
Right.
But, you know, it's just the most relaxed place to wrestle. And, you know, I did so many tours in Japan where you're so relaxed in the locker room. But Ring of Honor, it's relaxed. People are just doing what they do and they're having fun. And, you know, and that goes to say, you know, guys like yourself and the Briscoes and Red Dragon and Mikey Bennett and all these top guys that you know, make it that way. And I think that gives the next generation a chance to breathe and go, you know what? Like, I don't have to worry about the political bullshit. I can just come and be myself and do what I can do best. And, you know, that goes to show how cool you guys are. Hey, Adam, before we go, people can follow you at Adam Cole Pro. Follow your website, www.adamcolepro.com. Tonight you'll be at the Mike Bennett wedding. Tickets are not on sale, believe it or not, but there'll be wrestlers there. And plenty of stories. I'm sure the tweets will be flying. Tomorrow night you'll be in Kalamazoo, Michigan for Champions vs. All-Stars. And which should be a great thing. Hey man, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Steve Corino show. You're my bud, I could talk to you all night.
Hey Steve, I I've said this before to you, personally, obviously, but just here on the air for everyone to know, it's guys like you that have really motivated me to be a good guy in wrestling. Because you notoriously are known as someone that always gives back and helps out the younger generation. So. The fact that I can call you a friend is very humbling to me. So it was an absolute pleasure to be on.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey, and I'll see you. I'll see you soon. Don't let Roddy rape you.
All right, you got it.
All right, that was Adam Cole, and we'll be back soon on the Steve Corino Show.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
And now
time for some Twitter Q&A and a little bit of love with the King of Old School and Dan, too, on the Steve Corino Show. King, take it away.
Hey, we're back on the Steve Corino Show. A great, great interview with Adam Cole. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Adam Cole Pro. Man, we could have talked to him for hours, right, Dan?
Yeah, we could. I mean, I wasn't talking at all. I was just sitting back and just taking it all in. And his voice is like the voice of angels. And I just, you know, Basil could feel it too, the electricity in this room right now. It was fantastic. Probably the best interview we've done in quite some time, I think. And they've all been good.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrific. Loved it. Hey, we got some time here for some Twitter love and Q&A. Man, I don't even think we deserve music this time. There's freaking one question.
Like
one question.
A very short song, probably.
All right, ready? Let's wait to see what kind of song this is.
All right.
You're just too good to be true.
I almost feel bad. I feel bad for this song because it probably deserves a much better showing. But this is probably it's probably going to be our shortest, if not the shortest, ever Twitter segment that we've ever had. And I don't know, I just think this song deserved a lot better.
I think it did too, and that means people get off your asses, send us some Twitter Q&As, send us some love. Twitter at Steve Corino Show. Email stevecarinoshow@gmail.com or, you know, stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com. We've given you the avenues. We've given you the toolbox. Throw some fucking tools in there, yo. Oh, man. Hey, let's just start off with our one question. It's from Scott Reeves, who is not Superman. I've checked on that. Scott Reeves, and he's a good guy. He says, at Steve Corino Show, is it better to you to have a really great match, even if it's only for 20 people, or a high-profile match that might be subpar? It's a good question, and you might get different answers from different people. My answer, I don't care if it's 20, 200, 2,000, 20,000. People pay money to see you wrestle, and you not only owe it to the fans, but you owe it to the person that you're wrestling put on the best show possible. Sure, there's going to be times when you say, and I say it to every kid that I wrestle, hey man, here's the point of the match. Don't hurt me. And I say that because I'm 41, you know, and I don't want to get hurt. But I want to entertain, and I want to go out there, and I don't want to do 6 minutes. I want to go out there, and I want to tell a story, and I want people that don't remember me from ECW to go, oh, that guy used to be somebody or is somebody, and now this young person has learned from this guy. And those are my goals. So I don't believe anybody goes out there to try and get a subpar match, even though it does happen. And I've said this before, if you go out there to shit the bed, or or you go out there and beefcake everything because you don't believe that, you know, there's not enough people to do, you know, the most that you can, then you're just an asshole. So, I truly believe that. And that doesn't make me better than anybody. It just makes me, you know, I just have a lot of pride in, you know, the people that have come before me and the guys that are wrestling now. And so, yeah, that's a great, great question from Scott Reeves. Scott Reeves, a big supporter of You've Been Rob Films, producer on a few Rob Dimensions films. So, you know, always great to hear from him. Now, Dan, I got a couple questions to the email, but they're what ifs. So we're just going to give them out. If people listen, they want to write back. This is going to be cool. This first one is from, I can't say who, but he listens every week and he texts me. So you're going to know who it is. And we couldn't say it was on the Twitter. And I know Dan knows the one I'm going to say. And I'm going to try and make it as PG-13. But I'm also going to make it as Southern as I can.
Okay.
So what if Lita didn't suck Edge's dick in 2005?
Oh, God.
Oh, that was a great one. Oh, he's going to love that we mentioned it. I can't mention it, too. He's going to be mad that we didn't mention who. Who wrote it, but...
Well,
he goes by the handle of T-Dog HG. You can figure it out from there. Well, but that made me go back. Like, I read it on my phone, and then I went back and read it again and just chuckled. And then I didn't say anything to him. And he texted me. He goes, "Hey, motherfucker, why didn't you say anything?" What am I supposed to say?
I'm friends with him now on Facebook. And anytime I see a photo, or even if he posts something, I can't read like his status without hearing that his voice. It's a it just makes me chuckle every time. And he wrote me a message. He was like, "I hope you enjoy the show I did, and your mom, I think, really appreciated the fact I was not so vulgar." And I think he owes us another appearance so that he can kind of balance it out a little bit. He was too clean the first time. Now he was,
and he had said that, and he wants to come back on and rectify that situation. He is like, I've known Thomas for, oh man, 17 years now, I think it is, and this guy is just, I love him, man. He's very passionate. He helps a lot of people out, and it's sometimes like guys that he helps out really don't appreciate him the way that they should. And it's a shame. But like, he's got a great group of guys right now that he helps out. Guys that work for me, Alex, Mad Dog, Josh. You know, the just great guys that make my PWF shows so much better. And he makes my PWF shows so much better. Like, he helps out with concessions. He makes sure that, you know, no one's getting out of line. He gives me the update of, like, you know, who's fucking up and who's not. But yeah, T-Dog is an amazing, amazing guy, and I love him. If you're not friends with him on Facebook and follow some of his rants on his T-Dog HG page, you're missing out on some great things, because you know what? Everything he says is 100% accurate. He's just got the balls to say it, and that's why I love him. This one here is another What If from Ken Smell. I listened to most of the What If episodes, and thus far it's been extremely entertaining. Ever since I started watching wrestling shortly after The Undertaker's initial WWF debut, I ponder what the WWE or wrestling would be in general would be like without him. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is WrestleMania. Ever since the streak became a thing, it was something that people looked forward to every year. In my opinion, who's going to face The Undertaker had a lot more intrigue than who was going to wrestle for the WWE Championship. I think WCW would have even been a bigger threat had The Undertaker not been involved with the WWE during the early days of the NWO. Most of all, I'm not sure Paul Bearer or Kane would have had their long-term careers with the WWE. After failed Isaac Yankum and Diesel characters, Kane is the gimmick that gave Glenn Jacobs staying power in WWE. After hearing your insight on some of the what ifs, I'm curious to hear your opinion on that. And then I blocked him on Twitter. Yeah.
You blocked him on Twitter?
Yeah.
He just...
Thanks, Ken Smell. Oh, one final thing. You blocked me on Twitter, damn it. Honestly, I'm not concerned with being blocked, but I do want to address the apparent misconceived disrespect. I believe the tweet in question was, "The only thing that can make this Steve Corino match better on WWE Network is if Corino was on commentary." Yeah, reading that over doesn't sound too good, but what it meant to say was, "Would it be cool if Steve Corino could call his own match?" I take sleeping meds and I tweet sometimes. I'll learn someday. That was awesome. Ken Smell, I'm going to find you on Twitter right now, and you are going to be the first person ever, and I block a lot of motherfuckers, you're going to be the first person I ever unblock. How about that?
Well, Ken Smells Good actually follows me, and I found this...
Is that what it is? Ken Smells Good?
Yeah, at Ken Smells Good. And
I bet you I can't find him because I blocked him.
I retweeted one of the tweets that he had sent as complimentary to us. It didn't make air, but he wrote... at Place to Be Nation, at Steve Corino Show, "This episode is my podcast of choice on my way to ROH in Wheeling this evening." I take it you didn't meet him in Wheeling, but he was...
I was in England, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he was on his way to a show, and he popped in. I'm not sure if it was the What If or if it was the Cedric Alexander show, but he threw us on his way to the ROH show, and I gave him some props for it, and then he threw me a follow. And you know me, man. I don't have many followers, so I'll take whatever I can get. I don't block anybody, well, by the way.
At Ken Smells Good, you've been unblocked. You have done the unthinkable. You know what? You're fucking Jesus. You just came back from the dead. If that ever anybody ever believes that story. Ken Smells Good is done the impossible. I didn't even think I could unblock somebody.
I've never had to, but if I ever need advice on blocking or unblocking, I'll go to you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Wow. Just like that. What a great question, too. People, answer him. Write us, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, at Steve Carino Show. Man, you know, with the rebranding going on in my life as King Carino, I'll probably rebrand the show the King Carino Show, which sounds pretty fucking awesome.
Hmm.
Oh, hey, here's one from Steve Rogers, not the Montreal Expo or... what was Steve Rogers? What did Dimension say he was? He was some sort of character in a movie, right?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Whatever, right?
Do we believe?
Okay, here's one for you. Instead of Hulk Hogan at Bash at the Beach, you see this. Tony Schiavone, apparently. And here comes U.S. champion Ric Flair to even the odds. And what? Figure four to Savage? Flair was the third man. Double A Mongo and Benoit are out. And they're attacking Luger and Sting. What does this mean? That's right. Flair and the Horsemen align themselves with Hall and Nash. Flair gives the promo, making note of how when he returned in 1993, he was given a whole bunch of promises, but all of them turned empty once the likes of Hogan and Savage turned up. He heard that someone who he had known up north, Hall, was leaving and orchestrated the whole Hall and Nash invasion in the last couple months. Where do you go from there in terms of Hogan, or Flair, not Hogan, being the focal point of the NWO? Woo! Another good one. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. This What If show, like, it got people thinking, but not enough people writing back in. We need your thoughts. We just gave you two What Ifs. Jesus, you know, the guy that came back from the dead, and number 45 from the Montreal Expo, Steve Rogers, both gave us great What Ifs. And we need to know. We'll eventually do another What If episode, and we'll go from there. That was pretty cool. Okay, we only got one thing from Twitter Love this week, and it's from King Basil 1110. Sounds like a D McG. It'd be nice to get some love from King Carino since I'm the brains behind the Steve Carino Show. Not that McGinn guy. You have a cute dog, I gotta say that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You get a one bark, and a couple episodes ago, he got one bark in on the live mic. And all of a sudden, he thinks he's, like, the king of the world. Like, his head expanded. I mean, he's only a 15-pound dog. And he puts out his own Twitter. He's at King Basil 1110. And he starts calling out King Carino. He starts calling, you know, he sends a nice complimentary message to Beck because I think he wanted to suck up to the kid. And
I think Beck is following him, too.
Yeah, and he buries me at every chance he gets. I mean, he sent a picture along with this tweet of him next to this giant microphone thinking, like, he's, like, the shit, thinking he's the man. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm the one who has to feed you. I'm the one who has to, like, take you out because you can't do it yourself. But, he's, I don't know, he's getting a little too big for his britches, if you ask me.
Too big for his britches. He's got 8 followers, so you need to follow him. He's a dog. He's a fucking dog. That's one of my favorite Will Ferrell things from Saturday Night Live. I didn't watch Saturday Night Live much, but he's got like a best of Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live. You're a fucking dog. That's King Basil 1110. Follow him. Is 1110 like when he was born?
He was actually born on New Year's Day, 2010. So it's
so it's 1-1-10.
1-1-1, 0 or 1-1-10 or 11-10, however you want to say it. But yeah, so New Year's Day is actually his birthday, so he's almost 5 now.
He's a cutie.
Man, he's...
Hey, it's story time with the King of Old School. Real quick, going back to our Adam Cole interview that happened in segment 2. We talked about him being the most sexually harassed wrestler that I've ever met. And this reminds me of a story once where we had a locker room meeting where Cornette and I want to say it was Joe Koff were talking, and they said, hey, the sexual harassment needs to stop. You know, we're a corporation and we're not going to put up with it. And Maria Kanellis, who's soon to be tonight, Maria Bennett, leans over to Mike and says, no one's sexually harassing me. And Bennett goes, they're not talking about you. It's true. They were talking about Adam Cole, you know, because the guys, you know, maybe I was one of them. We would say, like, hey, Adam Cole, I just got done masturbating to you on Twitter and stuff like that just to mess with them. And yeah, apparently it was too much. You know, it was the HR department of ROH said, no, you guys got to stop that. So yeah, most sexually harassed wrestler, Adam Cole. Hey, I have one quick dig at Rob Dimension, who I beat up on, you know, every day, as much as I can. It's fun. And he never responded to this one, which makes me believe that this was great. I sent it to him today at 2:57 p.m. It is now 10:01 p.m. He doesn't have a job, so he just doesn't have a comeback. I wrote, Ebola, SARS, AIDS. It's all the same. I hope you get one of them.
Oh my gosh. How are you guys still friends?
We're not. I hate him. Hey, this week, of course, tonight, the Mike Bennett, Maria Kanellis wedding. My bet is Roderick Strong makes himself look like a big a-hole. Should be awesome. Tomorrow night, I'll be in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I don't know why I say that. Kalamazoo! For Ring of Honor, I'll be calling the action with our man, Kevin Kelly. And you can listen to the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. Next week, I will be Saturday at the Crystal Coast Con in Cape Carteret, North Carolina, representing the Premier Wrestling Federation, signing autographs, kissing babies, you know, all that shit. Come on out, have fun. Mac Daddy's an awesome place. You can play games, drink beer, probably pick up single moms. I don't know. It's going to be good. I'll be out there from 10 a.m. till whenever I can't sell another freaking thing. Next Sunday, Premier Wrestling Federation returns to the SBSA Bingo Hall, also known as the PWF Arena, 400 Hubert Boulevard, Hubert, North Carolina. Bell time, 4 o'clock. I will be in 2 matches because I am stupid. You would think the booker would put himself in the easiest matches. Nope. First, I'm wrestling Rob Dimension's kid, Kurt Robinson. You can see the promo on www.prowrestlingpwf.com. I'm going to smack around Dimension's kid a little bit. And it'll be for the WAW British Heavyweight title. I'm going to get my V1 defense in there. And then later on that night, me and C.W. Anderson, the Extreme Horseman, take on the Monster C, a Mad Dog Josh Powers. It's going to be great. 8 matches, including American Tiger, PWF Junior Heavyweight Champion. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King Carino. At the show is at Steve Carino Show. My website, worldofcarino.com. Dan, where the hell do we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at dmcg4881. That's dmcg4881. The few, the proud, the revolution, that is my Twitter following. That includes Ken Smells Good, as we just mentioned. We also have, of course, at King Basil, 1110. You can also follow him as well if you'd like. We have a major development actually going on. The Place to Be Nation crew is planning a trip down to Philadelphia come January for the Royal Rumble is there. It was just announced that the Royal Rumble is going to be in Philly, as well as a Ring of Honor show. So worlds might collide, my friend. You and I might be in the same place at the same time.
Is it going to be the same weekend?
That's the rumor. That's what happened last time. ROH kind of did a show in Pittsburgh the same weekend as the Rumble. So that's what I'm hearing, rumblings, if you will, that's going to happen again. So I don't know. I might have to just stop in and say hello, and maybe I'll ignore Kevin Kelly. I'm not sure.
Right? I'll be outside scalping tickets. I can make you a good deal.
Ah, okay. All right. I'll look for the guy in the Philadelphia Phillies jacket outside the building. the guy named Phillies Fan on the back of his shirt.
Oh, you know what? My family will probably be with me, too. You know,
you can also read me on placetobenation.com. I do the weekly Raw recap every Monday night into Tuesday morning. I'm just giving you the blow-by-blow, maybe a little bit of humor thrown in there, too, about what happened that night during the three-hour epic that is Monday Night Raw. We also have all kinds of other great stuff on the website. Of course, Kevin Kelly's show. He just talked to Matt Hardy. You might have heard about that during this program. And, so a lot of stuff going down, placetobenation.com, and please follow me. I think I'm now 100 followers behind Beck, who's going to be celebrating his first birthday coming up, and it's pretty sad that I'm that far behind at this point.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll be back in 2 weeks, of course, with this new schedule. I want to thank Adam Cole for coming on. It was a great, great interview, and we'll work on a really good 1-4 in 2 weeks. If everything goes right, it'll be somebody that has something to do with the weather. Hey, for Dan McGinn, this is Steve Carino.
Thank you for listening to the Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com. With the real shit, we got the shit you can't fuck with. Because we're so funkified, we make it move from side to side. Well, it's the TH, the ETTO, nigga, Brett and JD, coming like that, big baby. So lay back and listen as I catch up on my pimping and freak this duet just like Ashford and Simpson. Cause I'm
like that, and as a matter of fact, when it comes to the bread, I got the shit that make your neck snap back, meaning I got the shit that'll get you bent, tearing the roof off this mother like Parliament. I'm on a rolling control like Janet, damn it.
Ratch of the funk bandit and they can't handle it.
I know, that's why I keep hitting them with this grammar, letting niggas know that I'm the real mamma jamma. Straight to the head like a chronic sack.
I passed the mic to the brain,
and yo, I passed it back.
Well, sisters and fellas, it's time to get your groove on. I provide the funkified sounds to make you move, huh?
Breaking these boots off proper like,
is S-O-S-O-D-E-F dynamite.
Humming, I coming, I bet you like Ralph K. And since this ain't no honeymoon, I'm here to stay.
And the way we're coming at you, baby, we can't miss.
Here's a new tag team in town,
nigga, who that is.